on the first day of seven, if you include the last day, 8 days called the Feast of Tabernacles. There's a reason we celebrate these feasts here in this church. Firstly, because the Lord did speak to us many, many decades ago that the face of the church in the latter days was going to have a very Jewish presence about it. Not so that we can celebrate with the Jews their festivals, but because these festivals are not Jewish festivals, they are God festivals. Amen? And in these God festivals, though enacted or started out with the Jews in the Old Covenant or the Old Testament, we are celebrating them as believers, as Christians, because they were also types of particular things that God had in store for us in our particular dispensation. And so during this next few days that we will be gathering, we are going to explore some of the things that the Feast of Tabernacles offers to us. And this particular feast is one that is going to also be celebrated during the millennium, this particular feast. It is an everlasting feast. Amen? The Feast of Tabernacles. We'll look at it from different aspects and pull out from what the Lord has shared with us principles that we must hold dear. Let us start out, first of all, from the book of Exodus, chapter 34 and verse 22. Exodus 34 and verse 22. This feast, called the Feast of Tabernacles, is also graced with other names. It is also called the Feast of the Ingathering, because it's a feast of harvest. Now, if you think about it, you've had me share with you about the new years of God. The new years that are stated in scriptures, there are four different new years. And for us to understand it, we have in September, not looking at it from a religious aspect, but in September, we have a new school year. Yes? It's a new year. Praise the Lord. But then in January, we have another new year. So at least we have two. Now, you can have another new year, which starts in the April, May time, if the year of the close of your year as a business person, or even for us as individuals, I believe it's April 15th. That's when we do our taxes. Close. When is it? April 30th. Okay. April 30th. So May 1st becomes a new year, because you close your books, you have to file your taxes and close everything at that time. Now, businesses have their own different end of year positioned at particular times. So in the economy of God, the same thing is true. You have four of them. Now, the one that we are celebrating is the one we call Rosh Hashanah, which starts in the fall, followed by Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Yes? And then we have the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Ingathering. But if you go to the spring, you find that the atonement, the Day of Atonement that we celebrate in here, was activated in the spring when Jesus hung on the cross, because he didn't hang on the cross in September. He hung on the cross over here. And that was the time of atonement. Are you with me? And then we have Pentecost. Well, Pentecost is a time of ingathering, but so also over at this end is the time of ingathering, the time of harvest. So God has what he calls the former and the latter rain. Are we on the same page so far? I'm going somewhere. Now, he says, and thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, which is Pentecost, of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, the next verse says, 23. It says in verse 23, are you with me? Too many things to do in the back there. Verse 23, Exodus 34 and verse 23. And every man, no, 34:23, not 35. Exodus 34:23. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. Three times. All your men shall appear before the Lord, the God of Israel. Verse 24. It says, and I will cast out the nations. This is very important. I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. So this particular feast, God says, when we as men come to it, he's going to do certain things. He will cast out the nations before us. In other words, he will enlarge our borders. Enlarge our borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land. In other words, I will remove the desire of anybody trying to come take your stuff out of their hearts. Praise the Lord. When thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. Wow. God says, you show up before me three times in a year during the Feast of Weeks, Feast of Ingathering. He says, I am going to make certain that your borders are enlarged, and I'm going to make certain that while your borders are being enlarged, nobody desires to come take the land that you have increased into. That is protection. Amen? That is provision and protection. This is a blessing, a promise that is attached to this feast. Now, I don't know about you. I want to possess more and more and not worry about protecting in my own strength and ability that which I have received. You know what keeps wealthy people sleepless is worrying about their wealth. God says, you're not going to have to worry about your wealth because nobody is going to mess with it. In essence, I am going to protect that which I give to you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, In Exodus chapter 23, Exodus chapter 23, we already know from reading from Exodus 34 certain things about the man appearing before God. Now, Exodus 23, verse 16 to 17, Exodus chapter 23, verse 16 to 17. He says, "And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering," that is this feast of tabernacles now, "which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field." Next verse. "Three times in a year, all thy males shall appear before the Lord God." Now, wait a minute. Why is God requiring for men to come to this particular harvest or this particular feast? He says that when we come, we must not come empty-handed. In other words, we shall have a seed in our hands. And he's speaking very specifically to the man. Man, don't come before me empty-handed. Bring a seed. Why is God calling for men? And why is he calling for seed in their hands? Well, because God wants to bless the seed in their hands. Men are seed carriers. Yes? Men are seed carriers. They plant the seed, the women receive the seed and produce. Now God wants us to be able to bring incorruptible seeds that will continue to bring about increase. So God says, "I want the man to come with seed in their hands, and three times in a year, come." Amen? Let's keep on going. Now, the Word of God goes on, and he says to us in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, if you may go there with me, Leviticus chapter 23, we're laying foundations, and we're going to build on these foundations in the days to come. Leviticus chapter 23, I'm going to start out from verse 40. Leviticus 23 and verse 40. Leviticus 23 and verse 40. It says, "And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees." We don't have that today. But you're going to see a connection between two things. This same thing is what happens at the very beginning when Jesus is about to go to the cross. He says, "Take boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees." Is that beginning to ring a bell? "And boughs of fig trees and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Next verse. Verse 41. "And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month." Let's go on to the next verse, verse 42. "Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths." So we have another thing happening here. They are dwelling in booths. Next verse. "That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." That I made, watch those words, that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths Why did he make the children of Israel dwell in booths? 40 years they were experiencing this. From where they were to where they are going to go would have taken them 14 days at the very stretch, 1 month. But he made them dwell in booths. Why? Firstly, and we'll dwell on this a little bit more as we build on this subject. We have a few days to build on it. First, they were to stay under not their built houses here with stone and mortar. They were going to put sticks out and put leaves out there, and they sleep outside. And what are they doing when they're sleeping outside? They are looking at the elements, the stars, to remind them that they are sons and daughters of Abraham and that God had promised to bless them like the stars. Are you with me? So God says, I made you. Stay in that situation so you can see something. And remind yourself that I'm God, I'm going to bless you like you can see. You can't count those stars, you can't count the many ways I'm going to bless you. You can't count the many ways I'm going to bless you on this soil that you are lying on. I made the children of Israel. I made them to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And when God says, I am the Lord your God, he's saying, I am your provider. That's what he's saying. Do you get it so far? I am the Lord your God. I am your source. Next verse. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. He declared it unto them. This is the feast of the Lord. Praise God. So now we have another part of that equation. God saying that this is supposed to be a perpetual experience. Now let us look at Leviticus 23 and verse 29. I want to look at something about this feast here that we have already heard, but I want to cut through to it. Let's go two verses up. Leviticus 23, let's take it from about verse 27. It's something that I need for us to see here. And starts out, also on the 10th day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. That's what we just did, Yom Kippur. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. 28. And you shall do no work in that same day, for it's a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. 29. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. 30. And I'll explain that in a moment. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. 31. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Now, this is about the atonement, not specifically about tabernacles. But I'm going to bring a connection between these two in just a moment. Because remember, we just came through Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. Now, why is God stressing on not working? Well, because Not because God doesn't want you to work. He's wanting to remind us that the atonement, which is that we see in the New Testament, is a time of elevation to equality, is not based on anything that you are doing. It's not based on your works. That same connection is what he is doing here when he provides four different kinds of plants. These same plants, the palm, the myrtle, and all of that, these are the same plants that he releases when he's coming into Jerusalem, the triumphant entry of the Lord, and they start cutting down trees and palm leaves, and they cried out, a very interesting word, Hosanna. Do you remember that? Hosanna. Now, guess what is proclaimed at the time of tabernacles? Same thing, Hosanna. Right now in Israel, people are saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Lord, help us. Lord, help me. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Oh, let's go further. Go with me to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. All we're doing now is just laying some foundations. On Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, I'm going to go deeper and drive the points home deeper into our spirits. Psalm 118. Let's take it up from verse 24. Psalm 118 and verse 24. It starts out this, it says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Next verse. Save now. That's Hosanna. I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now what? Prosperity. Send now what? Send now what? I beseech you now, send now prosperity. Now, what is this about? Hosanna, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send tomorrow. Now, send prosperity when? Now. Now, for God to prosper us, he has to bring or release a prophet into our midst. You have to have a prophetic voice declaring the prophetic statement of the very moment. Like the sons of Issachar, who knew the times and the seasons and what Israel ought to do. For you believe in God, so that's how you get established. But believe his prophet, so shall you what? Prosper. So when God sends prosperity, he releases a prophetic word. Are you with me? Now, if there is a prophetic word, that prophetic word must have been released to bring us into a harvest. Because there is seed time and harvest. True? Seed, time, harvest. Seed, time, harvest. So, guess what? This is the season. Remember what we said at Rosh Hashanah and coming to Yom Kippur, that this is the time that God decides your new year. What's going to happen in your new year? This is the time that God decides to release blessings on your seed. Praise the Lord. This is a time that the prophetic word is pronounced over your seed so that prosperity is established. You're established first in God, but now this is going to determine how your year continues. Let's look at the next verse. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the what? the Lord. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Is that not what they were saying when Jesus was coming? Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Same thing. This is a statement that is being pronounced at the time of tabernacle. And then he says, we have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. And watch this. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Verse 27, God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. 28, thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. And verse 29, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is what? Good. For he is what? Mercy endureth forever. Remember what we talked about this morning. This morning, we talked about returning back to Eden. And we talked about the fact that in Eden, from whence the four rivers flow, do you remember the names of the rivers? Pison, Gihon, Hiddekel, and Euphrates. Yes? The river of God, which releases the prosperity of God. We said that in that means there were two trees. There are many trees, but there were two trees. There was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. And we said that the tree of good and evil has not been removed from the garden. Nowhere in scriptures does the word of God say, God removed the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge. Notice the key word there is the knowledge. It's not the tree of good and evil, but the tree of the knowledge of knowing good and evil. That is not what God wants you to eat from. All God wants to release into your life is good. So give thanks unto the Lord, for he is what? Good. And his mercy endures forever. Don't go through your life like a natural man expecting evil. Make the decision, I am not going to eat out of the tree that gives me the knowledge of good and evil. I'm going to eat out of the tree of life. And out of the tree of life, only good comes. Amen? I don't want the knowledge of good and evil. If somebody else wants to know the knowledge of good and evil, let them take all they want. But as a new creation of God, I am making the decision, because God said to the first creation, don't eat of that tree. Is that what he said? Did he ever say to them, don't eat out of the tree of life? No. There was only one tree he said, don't eat out of. The knowledge of good and evil. And as we return back to God's Eden, we must come to that place where we make that decision. I am not eating out of that tree of good and evil. So what is this then? The Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Ingathering, you got to stay outside, and it's got to be 7 days. Seven representing the 7 days of God's creation. Huh. 7 days of God's creation. And so why do you want me outside? To recognize that I am your God. I am a good God. And my mercies endure forever. Why is that important to us? As New Testament saints, it's important to us to recognize that God is a good God and he's a merciful God. That means that if I mess up, I can still come to him, because the atonement has already been established. You have to have the atonement, before you come into tabernacles. And this particular feast is an eternal one. And he says something to us in the book of Zechariah. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah 14, verse 16 through 19. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of what? Tabernacles. 17. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no what? Rain. Okay. Let's think for a moment. There shall be no rain. Rain is formulated, and during the next few days, I'll go deep on this so you get it more. Rain, the word of God tells us, comes when God opens the heaven and releases his good treasure. Rain is formed by water evaporating in forming clouds, and then the clouds release the moisture in them, and we have what? Rain. True? Is that not how it happens? Okay. God says, anybody who does not come to worship the King gets no rain. God is in control of rain. Now, the word of God tells us the impact of rain, because rain is now going to be made equivalent to something that we say most of the time. If I ask you, how are you doing? What do you say? Blessed and what? Highly favored. Rain is akin in the word of God to favor. And I'm going to show it to you in the word of God. I'm laying foundations. Somebody say foundations. We're going to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Amen? So that we know why we're celebrating this feast. We're not just celebrating feast. We are pulling the essence of why God established the feast in the first place. And his purpose has not changed. It is fulfilled in Christ, but the manifestation of it happens because of our obedience in pulling what God has already established. Next verse. And he says, and if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague. If the rain or lack of favor does not change you, you're going to have a plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. Wow. Now that is during the millennium reign of Christ. He's still holding on to the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, did the Lord Jesus Christ celebrate this feast? Yep. But before I go discussing that, let me look at the book of Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. Isaiah 12 and verse 3. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Traditionally, this is done customarily by people going to the pool called Siloam, the pool of Siloam. And the pool of Siloam, to the Jewish worshiper, is the well of salvation. But remember what we talked about this morning, that this pool of Siloam starts from the river called Gihon. The Gihon ends up in Siloam. And God says, I'm going to take blackness out of you. I'm going to shed light into your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, all of this is happening by the word of God. The entrance of God's word brings enlightenment. The word of God, and in just a moment I'm going to shift on and talk about Jesus and see the connection that the Lord Jesus Christ makes with this feast and water. All of these years, the Lord has not led us to talk about this aspect of the river of God as he has led us to do so this time around. Because everything comes with timing. Now, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now, come with me to John chapter 7. Gospel of John chapter 7. So for the Jews right now, they're getting water from the pool of Siloam in honor of that word. John 7, verse 2-3. We'll start out with that. John 7, verse 2-3. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. Verse 3. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. This is the brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, telling him to go to Jerusalem, so that those who are his disciples, those who've heard about him, believe in him, will see the demonstration of his works. Let's go to verse 14. He tells them, anyhow, to cut a long story short, he tells them, you guys go ahead, I'm not coming yet. Verse 14. Now, about the midst of the feast, somewhere, maybe Wednesday or Thursday, he didn't show up on the first day, right in the midst of it, in the middle of it, he went up into the temple and he began to teach. So we know something about the Lord and the feast. He is teaching. Why is he teaching? Because he has to bring people to a realization of what this feast truly is to mean for them. Now, let's go further towards the end so that we hear what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say. Let's look at verse 36 through about verse 39. Verse 36. It says, What manner of saying is this that he said, Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come. Verse 37. In the last day. Someone say the last day. Somebody asked me, what is the most important day of this feast? And I said, the first day, the last day. But we know Jesus came in the middle of it. But in the last day of that great feast, Jesus stood and he cried saying, if any man what? Thirst. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And then he says, He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow, what is that word? Rivers of what? Living water. Out of his belly, out of the core of his being, he that comes and believes him, as the scripture hath said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What verse is that? What scripture is this? Well, it's all the scriptures about the river of God. But what is he going to connect it with? He's going to connect it with the move of the Spirit of God. Look at the next few verses. Verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. They what? They should receive it. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should. Now, question. Is should and shall the same? They should. How do you receive anything from God? By faith. By believing his word. You believe his word, you receive it by faith. And if you receive it by faith, then the manifestation of rivers flowing through you becomes a reality. What rivers? The rivers of the Spirit, of course. But what rivers do we first and foremost hear about? We hear Pison. We hear Gihon. We hear Hedeco. We hear Euphrates. Those are the rivers that came out of the river of God. And they declare God's increase. Praise the Lord. Increase. Some say increase. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Increase. They declare bursting forth. They declare. Let me go back to Gihon first. Gihon is in the land of Havilah, the secular place, where there is gold. And then it says, good gold. And then it says, delium. Delium is a resin, gummy resin stuff. And on Friday, I talked to you about the fact that this is God saying, I'm going to bless you with so much wealth. And the wealth is going to stick with you. Amen? Wait a minute. What did we first read about the day of tabernacles? God says, I am, when you obey me here, I am going to cause you to possess lands, possess properties, and I will remove the desire of anybody trying to desire to come take your stuff from their heart. In other words, your resources will stick to you. Glory be to God. It says, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Now, we can stop there and say, Okay. Jesus has not been glorified. In other words, he's not risen from the dead yet. He's not ascended yet. He's not yet seated at the right hand of the Father. Therefore, they have not received yet the Holy Spirit. And that will be right. And that will be right. But guess what? He's not yet glorified in any man or woman that has not accepted what he came here to do. I don't know if you heard what I just said. He is not glorified yet in any man or woman who has not accepted what Jesus came here to do. Until you accept that he came to be the perfect sacrifice and atonement for your redemption so that you can receive the blessings of God immeasurably for your spirit, the soul, and body. He's not yet glorified, and therefore the Spirit cannot be released. But what does the Spirit do? The Spirit of God will guide you into all truth. The Spirit will do what? Guide you into all truth. The Spirit will cause you to remember the things that is already taught you and bring to your remembrance even things that you did not know you had heard. In other words, the Spirit of God will help you know what your rights are. Because when Jesus came, he came to establish you and connect you with your rights. Somebody listening yet? So what is this about the Feast of Tabernacles? As I rest the foundational aspect, it is about God tabernacling with us. God living in us, through us, with us, making his abode with us. And that is going to take us into another dimension of what this feast is truly about. All I've done today, and I've counted my words, and I've gone here and gone there, is just to lay the foundation and stick the pillars. It's not very exciting when you're just doing all of that. It's just information. But on Wednesday, we're going to go down this runway real fast, rapidly, and we're going to take flight. And it's going to take us into another realm, and we're going to begin to see things not from the earth realm, not from the natural perspective, but from a higher elevation. We're going to see and say, hey, is that what this is all about? Because ultimately, God wants to tabernacle with you. Tabernacle with me. And the one thing he is not going to tolerate, if you didn't notice it yet, is disobedience to his instruction. So this feast becomes the new structure of obedience and people declaring he is Lord. If you know him as Lord, you're perfectly okay. And the blessings will come upon your life, and the rain will pour into your life, and you will know what goodness God has bestowed for you. You will know his tender mercies and his loving kindness. You will continue to live life to the full and not knowing the knowledge of good and evil. But you will know fruitfulness, because the tree of life and the river of God has to do with being fruitful every month, different fruits, harvesting, never lacking. That is what God wills for every one of us here. If you receive it, then say amen. Hallelujah. Rise with me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we've started out on this first day of your feast, your holy feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. We embrace it. And we thank you, Lord, O God, that your anointing is upon our lives. We draw out of the pool the well of joy, the well of salvation. We rejoice before you on this, the most festive of all the feasts. And we say, Lord God Almighty, let it truly be unto us according to your word, that which you purposed in your heart before the foundations of the earth to release into the lives of men and women at this time of this feast. O God, let it happen for us. We bring our seed and we say, Lord, bless every seed that we sow. Let it produce an harvest, O God, that is beyond description. A harvest that we cannot explain. A blessing, O God, that we cannot put our finger on, because it is beyond description. It is beyond our imagination. You're doing exceedingly far beyond anything we dare ask or think. And you're doing it rapidly. And Lord, O God, you're calling us, O God, to fruitfulness. We say yes to your will and your word. Be exalted, King of kings and Lord of lords forever. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. Honor God with a special offering, especially the men. Bring a special offering to the Lord during the course of this feast. It is the seed. The Word of God tells us about the sons of Issachar again. They knew the times and the season. This is a season. Amen? This is a season of sowing special offerings. Hallelujah. It's not that the other seeds are no good, are not wonderful, but this is the time for sowing that special seed and saying, God, I do not come empty-handed. Praise the Lord. You say, but I'm a woman. Well, there's a good possibility there's a man inside of you. Especially if you're not married. So I challenge everyone that is not married and you've not come to the end of childbearing to do so for the seed that is inside of you, or the eggs that are inside of you that will be one day fertilized, so that man's seed has something released already. Then the Word of God says, Levi gave tithes in Abraham. Yeah? True? So even though he was not born yet, he was already tithing. So you can give seed and it impacts generations to come. Whatever it is that we do generationally. When I honor God with my giving, I give very strategically. Very strategically. And I do so because I want to connect my faith to something. So I love giving in numbers that have five in it. If I give less than 50, it must be something in the multiples of five, because that's about grace. When I give 50, I'm declaring my jubilee. And when I give above that, I am multiplying it by 50s. Jubilee, jubilee, jubilee. I'm declaring something. And I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I can tell you this, God is faithful. Amen? God is amazingly faithful. I will not be surprised one of these days. I will come and I will testify about how somebody handed me $1 million. Bang, just like that. It is happening. Hallelujah. God is blessing. I'm connecting. Connect. Let God do something for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Those of you listening online, do the same thing. I'm going to cut off from you now, but I look forward to seeing you this Wednesday for a special time in the Holy Ghost as we continue discussing this very special feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, and what it literally means to you, your family, and your generation. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. See you on Wednesday.